I'm going to call the order, call the meeting to order at 9:15 a.m. For the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority. What I'd like to do before we start with my comments is talk a little bit about how we're going to do the call again. This is our second virtual call, hopefully our last, but we'll see how that goes. The way we're going to run the call today in the meeting is that Eric is going to call the roll of the commissioners in a minute, and then once we determine that we have a quorum, we'll begin the meeting. The way we're going to proceed through the meeting when we start talking about the items we're going to vote on, we will instead of calling for a motion and we'll call for motions for sure, but in terms of voting, we'll continue to use Commissioner Don Carlos's method, where I will call for any nay votes, and hearing if I hear majority of nays, we will the item will fail, and if I hear no nays, the item will pass. If a commissioner gets cut off on the call, then we, as long as we continue to have a quorum, we will continue the call. If for technical reasons I am cut off the call, the Commissioner Corgi will run the meeting as opposed to me, since I will be gone. With that said, Eric, would you please call the roll?
Yes, so Chairman Campos here. Commissioner Clunan.
Here.
Commissioner Corgi.
Here.
Commissioner Crusoe. Let me try again. Commissioner Crusoe? Okay. Commissioner Don Carlos. Commissioner Don Carlos?
I see him on the left.
Yeah, I do too. So that's, let me try one more time. Commissioner Don Carlos.
Do you have me muted?
Okay, there you go. Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Here.
Commissioner Meese.
Here.
I'm going to go back and try Commissioner Crusoe one more time. Okay. Roger Gunther.
I'm here.
Tom Height.
Here.
And Kenny Friedman.
Here.
Okay, the roll is called. We have a quorum.
Okay, and would someone please try to find where Commissioner Crusoe is? Did she say she was here?
She is visible. She's invisible, but for some reason we can't see her. It looks like she's on the phone calling in.
I have unmuted her, so she should be able to speak.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay, good. You're here. All right, we hear you. Thank you.
Okay, great. So we have a full commission. Well, thank you for everyone on the call and for attending this virtual Port Commission meeting. I'd like to just start out with my remarks and talk a little bit about how proud I am of the Port Houston employees. From the top down, from Roger Gunther and his chiefs, and all the way to our people that are coming in and showing up on site every day to keep the port running, our folks that are telecommuting. Without them continuing to do their jobs, we couldn't keep cargo flowing. We really appreciate every single one of our port employees and what they do every single day. They're committed to value, they're committed to their values and taking care of each team members, and I really appreciate that. It's very hard to work in an environment like this. We all know that, and I really appreciate everybody and what they're doing every day. We're in the ninth week of operating in this environment, and our ability to get everything done and telecommute and to have our employees show up every day for work is just amazing. We will probably continue this program in terms of how we're operating today, at least into June. Good news is we have a great team that's been put together. We're calling it the return to work team, but I'm not sure that's a good moniker. It ought to be just to return to normal team, And it's a very large cross-functional team with 27 members, and they're looking at the best, safest, most productive way for us to open our offices and to get back to a more, you know, normal process. I'd like to give a shout out to the senior members of that team. The team is being led by Jessica Shaver, and the working groups within the team are being led by Christine Abrusicato, and she's handling communication and training. Brenda Trevino, physical workspace preparation. Chase Lisianti, who's doing mitigation and work site prep. And Dave McNamara, who is working on work practices and protocols. We have members of this team from all divisions and all levels in the organization. The team is taking lessons learned and best practices from others and our own facility that remains active in evaluating each site for specific needs, while we continue to ensure the safety of our workers that report on site every day, our essential workers. Thank you for your contributions as well. It's well thought out and effective, safe plan to get our employees back into the office and get back to a normal. Well, I'm not sure it's going to be normal, but it will be new. One thing I'd like to comment on also is our Citizens Advisory Committee. The original Chairman's Citizen Advisory Council began in 2013. We have relaunched it in 2020 as the Port Commission Community Advisory Council. All the Port Commissioners will play a role in this council, and this updated platform will help Port Houston leadership better engage community stakeholders who have a vested interest in what we do and who we are, in some way connected to our mission. This committee is comprised of 14 individuals and is a diverse group representing different communities along the Houston Ship Channel and various interest groups, including environmental and workforce development interests. Consistent with our recently adopted strategic plan, where partnerships is a strategic goal, the council will help promote deeper engagement and understanding between local communities and Port Houston, as we work to provide a more open line of communication and robust dialogue opportunities for everyone. We are committed to building and strengthening these partnerships with the surrounding neighbors and seeking greater community and stakeholder involvement in the activities of the port. We had planned to hold our first meeting in person, but in light of the current situations, we'd like to move forward with scheduling a virtual meeting soon. So for those of you on the committee and others who want to join, we'll send out that information very soon. The advisory committee is on the agenda to be discussed in our Community Relations Committee meeting that will be immediately following the Port Commission. I'd like to do a quick update on Project 11. As you all know, we had a major milestone event when the U.S. Army Chief report was signed in late April. We passed a significant milestone that advanced the project for congressional authorization. We're still on track in spite of the new work world. We're still on track with the feasibility design authorization construction schedule that we put out. We had an interesting event, which is really good. On May 5th, the Senate included the project in their AWIA bill, or the America Waters Infrastructure Act, and we are hopeful that hopeful for its successful inclusion in the House version of the WERDA 2020 Act. And so we are on track, and we really appreciate everybody's hard work because ultimately we know we have to get our channel deepened and widened for long-term growth for our community. That would be the end of my comments. So on the agenda, let's move from agenda to agenda item C, which is approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve these minutes?
Move to approve the minutes.
30 second.
Do I hear any nays on the minutes? Hearing none, they pass. Staff reports, Roger, you're up.
Okay, thank you, Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners and guests. Uh, I uh, sitting alone in the boardroom today. I came in the office, and it's quite lonely in here today, but I miss you all, but it's good connecting with everyone. I'm socially distanced from Kelly, who's in the other room running the meeting. So I want to give you a quick update on some of the activities occurring at the port since we met just 3 short weeks ago. And yes, our cargo volume has been impacted during the last couple of months. We know that, but our public facilities really remain busy. Going forward with efficient receipt and delivery of the cargo for our customers during these times that are very unusual. I'm proud of the resiliency of our port community, not just our own employees, but everyone out there, central frontline workers and telecommuters and everyone, as they proudly stood up to keep this commerce flowing through Houston, Texas, to serve our region, state, and our nation during this pandemic. So very proud of what continues to happen on our docks. Had a recent press release, but some of the items that were mentioned, our overall cargo that I hadn't talked about at the port, including all of our facilities, break bulk, container, and all of the 8 facilities, is down 2% for the year. Our container volume was down about 12% in April versus prior year April, but our overall container volume is still up through 4 months of the year by about 5%. This is pretty much as we expected. Don't see a whole lot of change in the next month or two, as far as we can tell, and talking with our BCOs and our carriers and shippers of cargo, importers and exports. We look at our container gate volumes every day, and it appears that we're on a similar pace for May that we've been on the last month or two. However, we are receiving notification of increasing number of blank sailings, canceled sailings coming into Houston through July. After only seeing 9 vessels cancel their calls into Houston in March and April, we've been advised of 8 total in May. We've had a few already. 7 more in June and 2 already we've been notified for July. That brings us to a total of 26 blank sailings that are COVID-19 related. Early on, it was in March and April, it was primarily Trans-Pacific services, but now we're beginning to see a few more North Europe and Mediterranean trade routes cancel some sailings in Houston. Now, although these ships or sailings are being canceled, the ones that are coming in seem to continue to be very full. Steel tonnage here at the Turner Basin City Docks, it continues to lag 2019 about 50%. This downturn was underway prior to COVID-19 due to some of the production in the oil patch and the tariffs that were beginning to impact import steel. Rick mentioned early on about our telecommuting staff and the team that is working on how we return safely so that we can determine when we can get back into a building environment. But I want to give a shout out to our on-site essential critical workers for the Port Houston, and they continue to be amazing. These frontline employees show up every day at our operating facilities, at the Turning Basin, and I truly appreciate their effort across the board. So I've advised those employees who are unable to telecommute, that have to show up their job every day because their job requires them to, and they've done so faithfully. They, for their contribution through going above and beyond during this period, they'll be receiving just a little ready pay, a little extra pay for their contributions during this time and showing up and on the front line. So I appreciate them. Other than that, normal business continues. As you know, we're still embracing the goals and mission of our strategic plan. I keep telling our employees it's the environment, our goals haven't changed, but the environment that we're working in has changed, but we're doing well through that. It's business as usual as much as possible. We're still planning for future growth projects. We're billing, we're getting paid. We keep our systems running smoothly. We're moving forward with projects and contractual agreements. In fact, you'll see more than $36 million that are recommended for approval on today's agenda. And a little more color to what Rick talked about on the deepening and widening project, our team keeps moving forward. We passed, moved across the 35% milestone for design. You'll recall the port is taking on the responsibility for the design of the project. We're working with the Army Corps of Engineers in detail level, working with the pilots on ship simulations, and working with the multiple industry parties on necessary pipeline relocations and other issues. So project moving forward continues to move rapidly. There's some things that we have to complete down the road, the project management plan, the design agreement, and the use of advanced contributed funds are all on the plate. And all of this has to be done in order to begin construction after we receive authorization. And I'm convinced and we're anticipating that we can move into construction into 2020, hopefully the earlier part rather than the later. So everything's good. We keep rolling along in spite of everything around us, and I'm really proud of our team, and they're engaged and ready to go. That's all I have.
Okay, great, Roger. Thanks. Next item on the agenda is appearances. We have several folks that want to speak. First, we have the mayor of Morgan's Point, Michelle Patel. Would you, Kelly, unmute the mayor and give him the platform? Welcome.
Certainly. One moment. Mayor Bechtel may be one of our call-in users, and I'm not certain which one he is. Mayor Bechtel, can you unmute yourself? Are you able to? I will go ahead and unmute the callers so we can identify Mayor Bechtel. Mayor Bechtel?
Good morning.
Okay, good.
Good morning.
Ha, it worked. Good morning, Chairman Campo, Commissioners, Port Houston staff. This is Michelle Bechtel, Mayor of City Morgan's Point.
Welcome.
Thank you. My concern today is item F3 on today's agenda regarding the Port Houston authorities authorizing a grant of $250,000 to the S-Speed Center at Rice University and further developing their Galveston Bay Park plan. I see no support for this plan among my neighboring city mayors along Galveston Bay, nor do I see any support from Chambers County officials. I worry that the Houston Ship Channel Widening Project 11, may be impacted by the Galveston Bay Park plan, slowing progress due to the environmental concerns. As for storm surge protection, compatibility does not equate to equal results or effectiveness with the proposed coastal barrier concept. Both USACH and GCC PRD studied and did not pursue the Mid-Bay proposal. Despite claims to the contrary, pursuit of public funding for comprehensive storm surge protection along the upper Texas Gulf Coast will be set back with the perception of multiple competing plans again. Funding from the Port Authority will result in the perception of a preferred plan. This should be avoided. I ask that you do not authorize the grant. Thank you for our consideration this morning.
Absolutely. Commissioners, do you have any questions? Hearing none, thank you, Mayor Bechtel. I appreciate the comments. Our next speaker is Chambers County County Commissioner Billy Combs. So, Billy, could you go ahead and, County Commissioner, are you muted? There we go.
Yes, sir.
Great.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Go forward.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you guys very much for allowing me to speak this morning. And also, I want to give y'all a big thank you for keeping our ports open and keeping things going there in this pandemic time that we're all in now. Following up on Mayor Bechtel, I also, on behalf of Chambers County, I ask you, please do not fund the grant agreement with S-Speed for further development of the Galveston Bay Park plan. There are several things wrong with that plan. I think the mayor and other people, a lot of them are probably more versed to explain some of that than I am. But my big concern on it, this plan would be constructed almost entirely in Chambers County. Having said that, Chambers County has had little or no say in it whatsoever. Furthermore, it would do nothing to protect any of Chambers County businesses, any of Chambers County residents. It would leave Chambers County taxpayers stuck with flipping the bill and maintaining the project, policing the project. You know, it could further, there's going to be impact to our oystering industry and fishing. There's just so many things to go on that we could talk about it forever. But I think the big deal on this is we already have a plan. A lot of people have worked very hard getting the Coastal Spine project, something that everyone could agree on. There's been a lot of give and take, and it's been working for years. You know, for a long time, we didn't have a single plan. We had two plans, and it was dividing us in trying to get support anywhere. You know, I ask you today, let's everyone get behind the Coastal Spine. That project protects everybody. It's a good project. We know it. It needs all the support it can get to get it built. So let's not get divided again. Let's try to stick to one plan. And thank you again for letting me speak.
I appreciate that, Commissioner. Port Commissioners, any questions or comments? We all obviously have a debate when we get to item F3. If you want to hold it to that, that's fine. Anybody have any other comments? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Commissioner Combs. I appreciate your comments and your and being at our meeting today. The Captain Thompson of Pilots was also going to speak today, but it turns out that the Pilots meeting is at the same time as the Port Commission meeting, so we aren't able to do that. But I would, I'd spoken to Captain Thompson a few times, and discussion, we've had some really good discussions about their, a lot of the work that they're doing to make sure that they are safe and have great protocols for the pandemic issues. And they have been doing a lot of simulations on the widened part of the channel, but also doing simulations on the current channel and trying to you know, figure out how to maximize some of the requests that people are asking about in terms of ship sizes and what have you. The other thing we talked about, and I mentioned this at our last Port Commission meeting, was the status of the Pilot Commission. And just to give background to people who weren't on the call last time, we have a new Pilot Commission. The Port Commissioners that were on the Pilot Commission have all resigned, and their new appointees have been added. I think the governor has not added his appointees at this point that I've heard. The only holdover from the Port Commission is the chairman, which is me. And the idea behind me staying on the Pilot Commission is to make sure we have an orderly transition to the new commission. Port Authority entered into an agreement to continue to fund the operation of the Pilot Commission through the end of June. And given the complication of how we've had to work virtually, we've made progress on getting the new pilot commission up and running, but because of the complications of our new world order, it's likely not to get completed by the end of June. So commissioners, I just want to let you know that we will bring forth an amendment to the Pilot Commission support program in the next meeting that will take it through the end of September. But we want to make sure that we have a seamless transition and all the regulatory issues and all the support that the commission gives to the pilot. Pilots need to continue because they are critical frontline folks, you know, bringing ships in and out every day. That will be on the agenda next time. Okay, so let's move on. And I don't think that we have any other appearances or public comments. So let's move on to
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Commissioner Corgi here. If this would be an appropriate time, I have an announcement I'd like to make.
Sure.
Friday, as you know, is National Maritime Day, the May 22nd. And we normally have ceremonies all over the country, but due to the COVID crisis, the Maritime Administration is having a virtual celebration. And I've got a link for it. I can post it on the website, but it's going to be at 10:30 Friday morning, and we'll host remarks from Secretary Elaine Chao and Admiral Busby, the Maritime Administrator. And the theme of this year is going to be a resilient sea lift for a resilient nation, honoring our merchant mariners that are out there every day, making sure these ships get into port where we can keep moving this cargo. And of course, as we always do, we're going to commemorate the merchant mariners that served in World War II. So I just wanted to make that announcement.
Great.
So everybody knows. And I'll send that along. We can post it on the website, hopefully.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to that. Okay, moving on to F, executive. Roger, are we?
I think Tom's going to take the lead starting there, Rick.
Okay.
Yes. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. The first group that I want to talk about is executive. F1 and F2 are just one-year renewals for our federal policy consulting contracts. They're for the same monthly rate as the previous year. And then F3 is the challenge grant for the S-Speed Center for $250,000 upon raising $750,000 from other sources. I can take any questions.
Okay, so let me just make a comment about the item three. I know this is, you know, we heard from Mayor Bechtel and Commissioner Combs, and we appreciate their comments, and I understand the concerns. The challenge we have is we do have I don't think we have a divided, we're trying to divide again. The city of Houston, Harris County, kind of look at it a little differently. Their view is that the proposal is hard to even evaluate today, because it's really a concept. And in talking with the Corps of Engineers and talking with a number of other folks interested in this project, the question is, how do you push it forward? How do you even know whether it negatively affects things? And how do you know I fundamentally don't believe that we should be divided at all. Ultimately, you have to have more data, you know, in this world of every time you turn on the TV, you hear about data. This item is to get more data so that we can, as a community, evaluate something rationally. And today we don't have enough data to say it's good, bad, or indifferent. I think that the concerns that everyone has relating to Project 11 are out there. There's no question about it. But the agreement that ultimately the port staff and team will negotiate with the Speed Center will ensure that number one, it doesn't impact Project 11, and number two, that to Commissioner Combs' point, that Chambers County has had little or no say into it. The idea is to make this a broad community effort and to make sure that they do have, that everyone who is a constituent in the ship channel has a seat at the table in this. And so the idea behind the port sort of funding this amount, subject to them raising another $750,000, and subject to a contract that is specifically involves the community, specifically involves making sure that Project 11 isn't negatively impacted, is sort of paramount to the whole discussion. If if we, if and this is not a Port Houston acknowledgement of a preferred project. It is a an analysis just like we do on every major project we do. Give us data, let us look at it, and we'll decide whether we think it's good, bad, or indifferent. Right now, there's really no project to think about or even to debate, just a not a lot of pretty pictures at this point. And I do understand the concerns, and I want to make sure that everyone knows that that this is not the preferred project. It is not, it's all about just getting more data. So commissioners, why don't we just open it up for a conversation at this point about these issues, and then we'll decide what to do.
Well, Commissioner Meese, I have a question.
Okay.
First of all, I would ask that this be deferred for further study. Last time we talked to Mr. Blackburn, he was going to meet with all of the different people, especially over in Chamber County, and get back with us. We haven't heard back. I did get a letter late yesterday afternoon that I read, and I understand the program. I'm not necessarily against the program. I just say that we've got one thing in mind, and that's to get that channel widened. This is not the time to have somebody out trying to raise money or do whatever he's doing by saying that the port supports it. And that's what we're saying when we give him $250,000. I don't think that this should come forward at this point in time. I think we should have a meeting on it with the commissioners, and let's get it boiled down exactly what's going to happen. I can't help but think that with $250,000 supported by the port, that's basically saying we support it. I don't support it. First of all, his program cannot even come into effect until we widen the channel 700 feet. He's talking about taking it from 700 feet to 900 feet. I don't oppose that when it happens, but he doesn't need to be messing with the Corps, and he does, Chairman, have to go to the Corps and visit with them about this program. And that's going to interfere with what I thought we were all on board of trying to get that channel widened. And that's my concern. And I think it's completely ill-conceived to even put anything out there that could even cause the least little ripple in the water as to getting this thing to 700 feet. Now, once we have it under contract and we've awarded it, Roger was talking about he thought that might happen in 20. Well, once that happens, then I think you can take a different approach to it, because we're in. We have our program sold, and we're going forward. We've got a $100 million program or better facing us. We've got $30 million that we've already put into engineering. I think about $1.5 million to have the Corps approve our program as we go along, so we don't lose all of that time. Everything is very critical at this point in time, and the port has spent a tremendous amount of money. And don't fool yourself. We're going to be in this by ourselves. I don't think we're going to find any big brothers that's going to step forward and say, hey, let me pay my half. If they have, you've kept it away from me. I haven't heard a thing about it yet. So I think that we just, even $250,000 at this time, it can put us a strain somewhere down the line. And with the problems that's going on in Harris County, and all of us, I look for Harris County to be trying to shift things over on us. I look for the city of Houston to be looking for help for us. And here we're off into a program that that so many people in East Harris County or against, and maybe they're against it because they really haven't been able to study it to see what it'll do. Right now, we need to get that channel widened, and I think it's ill-conceived to do it at this time. Should never have been put on the agenda, and I think it should be deferred.
So, Commissioner, are you requesting for a formal deferral of this?
I am, yes.
Okay.
We can set a meeting sometime in the next month and visit about this.
Okay. So just so commissioners know and everyone on the call, the Port Commission bylaws allow the commissioner to request an item to be deferred into the future. They have the right, the commissioners have the right to request a deferral one time. And so if Commissioner Meese is making this request, just I want to make sure I reiterate this the policy or in our bylaws is that Commissioner Meese, are you formally requesting this item be taken off the agenda in accordance with our bylaws?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Eric, do I need to, is there anything else legal from a, or Kenny that we need to do to remove this item from the agenda?
No, I think we're done, sir.
I do too.
Okay.
All right. This Commissioner, I have a question. Is this deferral request, Eric, a one-time thing per commissioner for the life of the commissioner, or is it on a particular item? In other words, can different commissioners request that an item like this, which I am, as you all know, very, very much opposed to, when after we have this meeting, if our opinions are unchanged, can I request a deferral next time it comes up?
Well, you know, that's a fair question. I'll read the words. I suspect it's just a one-time deferral, but I think lawyers would argue about that. So I'm going to be a little mealy-mouthed here. But the words say, any port commissioner may request such deferral, but only once. So,
I don't know that we should have a debate about whether there's multiple deferrals at this point. So I will formally remove it from the agenda. F3 has been now removed, so we will not vote on it. And then I will direct staff to set up a separate court commission meeting, an open meeting, where the public can also come and join in the debate. And we'll have a specific debate about this item separately, and then we can move things forward. So that's what I would like to do today. And then in terms of what the procedural issues are, in terms of what happens after today, we can do that offline, with the proper people. So commissioners, since we are going to have a special meeting on this item, I would say then that there's really no upside in having a broader debate about it today, because we'd probably be repeating the things that people are going to say at the special meeting. So with that said, item F3 is off the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve items 1 and 2, F1 and 2?
So moved.
Second.
Any nays? Hearing no nays, we will items pass. Okay, moving on to the agenda, item G. Tom, you have a grouping there you're going to work on?
Yes, in commercial, there are 5 items, 3 standard leases and 1 access license to Harris County for the contractors who are working on Beltway 8 Bridge. The one item that I do want to bring up is G4. Because of the need of one of our tenants to build a dock, we need some space for the bulkhead and the tieback. And we have some property that is directly next to the property that Lionel Bissell owns. And so we are asking the commission to allow us to do a property exchange for for our 0.5 acres and to their 0.3 acres. We will keep all riparian rights, so they will not be able to build any kind of wharf structure in the water. That's all I have, if anybody has any questions.
Commissioners, any questions? If not, I will take a motion to approve item.
Motion.
G1 through G11. There's a motion, a second?
Second.
Any no votes? Hearing none, the motion pass. We now move on to item J.
H one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong page. Sorry, H1.
In finance, there's 2 items. One is just a administrative change to our pension to our investment policy, We had an employee retire, and his title was in the policy, and we're just changing out the title for his replacement. The one I want to talk about is H1, and that is the commission approving the order to sell the $310 million tax refunding bonds that last month you agreed, you approved for us to have a resolution finding the necessity for the issuance. These are just the steps that we have to take throughout the process. There will be one more step coming next month, I believe. That's all I have on finance. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Okay. Before we vote on this, I want to make sure that I clean the record up. We last voted on items G1 through 5, okay, not through 11. Is there a motion to approve items H1 and 2?
Move for approval.
Second.
Any discussion? Call for the vote. Any no votes?
You want something?
Hearing none, items H1 and 2 pass. Infrastructure, Tom?
Infrastructure, there are 11 items. Couple design works for new projects, some work for the pipelines that we always have month to month. But the two items I would like to talk about is one is I-3. That's the annual wharf and rubber tire gantry painting by Blasco, Texas. They are a 10-year incumbent. Their bid and their work has been spectacular through the years, and we're happy to have them back. I-4 is the rehabilitation of wards 4 and 5 at Bayport. The staff is recommending McCarthy Building Companies. This is very important. The speed of this project is very important because as long as this project goes on, we can only handle two large container ships at Bayport. And we need this turned over as fast as possible. So we are asking for, again, McCarthy to handle the construction. And so we are asking for approval on I-1 through 11. I'll answer any questions if you have them.
Commissioners, any questions? So, Tom, I have a question on number 4. So on the McCarthy versus the Russell Marine, the contracts were pretty close in price, but McCarthy, are you saying that McCarthy had a faster schedule, which allowed you to get back to work faster, and so you took that into consideration, even though McCarthy was slightly higher, is that correct?
That's correct. We bid this two different ways. We asked for two different bids, one for what would it take to build it, the whole project in 11 months, and the eastern third of War 5 in 150 days, because that timeline keeps War 4 closed as well. So when we did it, and we did the whole project in the 11 months, Russell was actually a couple $100,000 cheaper. But when you took in what McCarthy is going to do to speed the project up, they are decreasing the third of War 5 by 35 days and only charging us $24,000, and they're cutting a month off the whole project, where Russell's project total project time was going to stay at 11 months, and they were only able to cut off 10 days. So every day that a ship sits outside because it can't get in costs them at least $50,000. So the speed of what McCarthy's willing to do and the cost that they were charging us made this a decision that we felt was best for the port and its customers.
Okay. Any other questions, commissioners? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve items I-1 through 8. I-1 through 11. Second.
Second.
Okay. So are there any nays or any other questions? Hearing no votes, we are those items pass. Items I 1 through 11. Item J of operations.
So there are six items in operations. The first one I want to talk about is J2. It's similar to what we did last month. We're bringing you that monies that we have spent so far since last meeting, which is $520,000 for screening and $200,000 for cleaning. But on top of that, we know we're going to keep doing these two items at least through July. That's our plan anyway. So we're asking you to not only acknowledge the previous expenditures, but just let's go ahead and fund the next 2 months of screening. So that's $720,000. And cleaning is $560,000. So not including those two new numbers, we've already made commitments, not that we have everything in stock yet because we're still waiting on some masks and things like that, but we're already at the level of about $2.2 million in either services or supplies that we have bought for the COVID-19 situation. The other two items that I would like to talk about are J4 and J5. These are the two annual maintenance services for our two systems at our container terminals. One is Navis, which is our marine terminals management system. We've had that for over 20 years. It's the leader in the industry, and it's very important for us to maintain the terminals and the operational methods we have. The second one is SmartTech, which is the gate operating software system that we've only had this company for 3 years, but it works well with Navis, and it keeps our 9,000 plus transactions going per day at the two terminals. So we're very satisfied with both of those. So the staff is asking for approval of J1 through 6.
Okay, commissioners, any questions?
Move it, be adopted.
Second.
All right, do we have any nay votes? Hearing none, item J1 through 6 pass. Before we go to the next item, Tom, would you for our next meeting do a summary of sort of what we think our COVID costs are and what we think they might be going forward with the in conjunction with the reopen office program, to just give us a sense for, you know, how much you spend, what the items are, and trust me, I think it's really important because a lot of things I know are for temperature checks and making sure that we're keeping our frontline workers safe. So it's not about worrying about the money. I just like to understand kind of, how it's broken down and ultimately, you know, what we think the cost is going to be.
Okay. Yes, we'll have that for the next meeting.
Okay, great. All right, item K, people.
Okay, here we need to open a hearing because it is a change to our fine compensation program. So if you could open a meeting.
We'll do that. Okay, so we are, this is a hearing. I'm opening the hearing within this Port Commission meeting and the possible action to amend the Port Authority's 401A defined contribution plan and 457B deferred compensation plan to opt into programs offered under the Coronavirus Aid, Relief and Economic Security Act, which is CARES Act, that relate to retirement plans. So our hearing is open, so let's hear.
Eric, did anybody put in to speak at the hearing?
No, sir.
Okay, so I'll just give a quick update on the three items that are part of this so that we can have that. The first one is the CARES Act through December 31st of this year allows an employee to withdraw without early withdrawal penalties, up to $100,000 of their own money. It also takes that and allows them to pay taxes on that over a three-year period. The second item it allows, if the employee wants to do it, is until September 23rd, they can get a loan up to $100,000, again, depending on how much money they have in the system of their own money. And that's the one thing we want to make this perfectly clear. These dollars are their own monies. So it's not anything that the port is putting out. It's just allowing, this act allows them to have access to their own if they have had the coronavirus or their spouse or their dependent, and they can prove that they have had a financial hardship. So there is a process to go through it, but they can get into their own money. The third thing in terms of 457 is employees can waive the required minimum distribution for 2020. So that is what the items in the act are that we are allowing our employees to have access to if you approve this at this time.
Okay. Any questions, commissioners? Okay. And do we need to close the meeting before we vote, or do we need the hearing?
I'll let Eric.
No?
Either way.
Okay, let's go ahead and vote on the agenda. I have a motion to approve item K1.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Do I have any no votes? Okay, hearing no nays, the item passes, and I will formally close the hearing relating to these matters. So let's move on to item L, Port Security Emergency Operations.
So there are three items on this. Two of them have to do with our radios that we use out at the terminals. We have about 1,200 of them. It's not only the maintenance, but it's also the parts that we have to buy. The one I want to bring up today is our three-year security services contract, so the guard gates that we have. Staff is recommending we renew with Allied Universal after the business that came in. Allied Universal was the low bid, and they've done a good job for us through the years, so we see no reason to not go with them again. And their price is only up about 2% from the last contract, so we're happy with that. So if there's any questions, I can answer them on any of the three.
Commissioners, any questions?
Motion that we approve them.
Okay. Second.
I have a quick question before we vote.
Sure.
Tom, on number one, we had talked at various times about having our security guards at gates armed. I'm assuming that in this contract they still are not armed security guards at the gates.
That is correct.
Let me address that, Commissioner Don Carlos. It's Eric. There is actually, from about 30 years ago, an attorney general opinion, and that was actually contemplated by the commission at that time, and that's not feasible, according to the attorney general.
Not. Okay.
In other words, they have to be peace officers to have to be able to carry arms.
Exactly. Is the cost prohibitive? Is that the objection?
That's why we used to have our port police at the gate. The cost did make it where it was prohibitive. So that's why we went to guard with our police inside the gates supporting them.
Okay. I still have concerns that, frankly, our front entrances are not adequately guarded, but I certainly understand the financial impact of it. I just hope that we don't ever rue that decision.
Maybe we should have a session on security and get a presentation from our group about what kind of of issues we've had, to study this issue. I think that might be a good thing to do perhaps at the next meeting or sometime thereafter.
Yeah, Rick, this is Roger. We can certainly revisit this issue. I know it was brought up 2 or 3 years ago, if it's been that long, but we can certainly do that, Commissioner Don Carlos is suggesting.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, great. So we have a motion and a second. Any other questions? I'll call for the vote. Any no votes on items L1 through 3? Hearing none, the items pass. Next item, technology, M.
We only have one item in technology this month, and it is to award a purchase for IT components for Container Yard South at Bayport. Back in December, we did the exact same thing for Container Yard 7 North. And now that the southern part is almost done, we need to start putting up the wireless access points and switches on the high mast poles. This does not include cameras. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Any questions? Then I'll take a motion in a second.
So moved.
Okay. Call for the vote. Any no votes on this item? Hearing none, item M1 passes. Item N is a recess. We're going to recess this meeting and go into an executive session and consult with our attorneys under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, and we'll include a consultation regarding claims against Exxon Land Development, Inc. and Exxon Mobil Pipeline. We're going to talk about some real estate items, including disposition of Beltway 8, Barber's Cut Terminal, and Barber's Cut Bayport Terminal vicinity properties. So we may talk about, also economic development negotiations and incentives, employment, evaluation, security-related things. So that's what we're doing in executive session. So I'm going to call for an executive session. The way this will work is that folks that are in the normal court commission meeting can stay on the line. We will open a new meeting with just the commissioners and the staff that we need. And then once we're finished with that, we will then come back onto this line and then finish the meeting, the business of the meeting. So commissioners, go ahead and
Rick, sorry to interrupt real quick. Just make sure everybody got the message. Kelly sent a revised call-in number for the WebEx for the executive session. She sent it at 8:52. I just want to make sure everyone has it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get it.
Okay, we can get it to you could, it was by email.
I think Roger, I think the calendar entry was also updated. I'm looking at both.
Yeah, it was. So we'll make sure you get in there, Commissioner Meese.
Okay.
But I've got a number,
429-210-715. Hold on. We'll get somebody to call you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We'll be back. Right. I think we are now reopening the Port Commission meeting from executive session. So we are now in session again. Eric, would you read some of the motions that we need to pass as part of the executive session?
Yes, we're asking for a motion to authorize the Port Authority to settle with AKA Land Management LLC and UCI Properties-HOU LLC and acquire property owned by each in the vicinity of Bayport Terminal on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to the Port Authority.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any questions or comments? If not, I'll call for the vote. Are there any no votes on this item? Hearing none, the item passes. Eric?
Okay, so now we're also asking for a motion to authorize the Port Authority to settle claims against Exxon Land Development Incorporated on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to that foregoing.
So moved.
Second. Are there any no votes for this item or any questions? If not, the item passes. I think that's it, Eric, right? Is there one more?
That is it, and I guess we can then move on to the next meeting.
Okay, so I just want to make sure everyone knows that the next meeting is on June 23rd. We will give you advance notice on whether this is a virtual meeting or a face-to-face meeting. Our back-to-work team will be looking at this item as well to decide whether we need to do that or not. And I would say that it's probably reasonably likely that we'll do another virtual meeting as opposed to a face-to-face meeting by that time. But you never know. So let's sort of keep it open so that we can make a decision, you know, closer to game time. I'd like to do a couple of broad shout-outs before I close the meeting. You know, I appreciate everyone on this call today. I know there's a lot of poor constituents on the call. I appreciate the mayor, Mayor Bechtel, and commissioner for coming and speaking today. I know the Galveston Bay project can be controversial. We'll go ahead and schedule a meeting to make sure that everybody has that. I'd also like to give a shout out to and ask people to go ahead and join this Maritime Workers and Maritime virtual celebration that's going to happen. I want to really give a shout out to seafarers and all the folks that are making sure the mariners that are taking care of business in a very complicated time. You're doing a great job, and I really appreciate everything they're doing. So if I missed your shout out, then send me a note and I'll give a shout out next time. So at this point, I'll take a motion to adjourn the Port Commission meeting.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Are there any no's? If not, the meeting is formally adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and we'll be talking to you between now and the 23rd, and look forward to seeing you then. Thank you.